that Sunday morning, 1/19/25, day before the inauguration. Woohoo! Looking forward to that. There's a new sheriff in town. Not just President Trump, but his apostles all across this land. Spiritual sheriffs working with natural sheriffs to clean it up. The title of this is called Time to Be the Man. And I'll qualify what that means. Go to Ephesians 4. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right here, stature means maturity. Learning to keep your mind on God's business will help you shake off what is trying to stop you. Do you wonder why it seems that the devil has tried to come in and make everything difficult for us? It has been by divine design. How will you know what you are made of if you are not tested? See, the problem is, just like the last word, we have given in to what he has done and allowed him to sabotage and make everything difficult. Well, your word will reverse that. That's what the Lord's saying in this other word. Don't give in to what he's saying. Well, I don't feel good today. Do we walk by how we feel? No. We walk by what we believe. It's just as easy to have God's benefits and everything he has already said is ours as it is that other. Right? All right. Acts 28. Everybody thinks about Paul. You know, Paul, I don't see how Paul did it. It's because we never seen anybody else do it. We never saw Paul do it either. It's just documented that he did. 28:1, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire, received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked. When he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. So, Paul, this man, you talk about ragged out. If you read about the two-week hurricane he just come through, and then the shipwreck, then swimming to shore and freezing and hungry and cold, he just shakes it off. Sounds like a man, the man. Sounds like the man that has learned to just whatever. I'm not walking by, the devil don't dictate to me what I do or how I act. God's grace was sufficient for Paul. It wasn't just for Paul. The Lord has said to us on several of his visitations with us that we would walk out of things we have been experiencing gradually. What does this mean? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think about your situation and how it's causing you to act, now you can see why you ain't where you think you need to be, because you ain't where you're supposed to be right here. Paul had to shake that viper off and know, it can't hurt me. Now some idiot will come on down the scene, try to do the same thing, and he dies. I'm telling you what. Ephesians 6:10, this is a mental battle. It's mental. If you don't believe me, let's go there. The whole armor of God is about your mind. Starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What does 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 say? The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, leading into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul thought, it can't hurt me. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the wiles of the devil. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan's plan. God already has put a plan in place. And we have to think on his plan, his will. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's your mind. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What fortifies you? Praying in the Spirit. That's going to help keep your mind right. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than ye all. The man had it. He was the man. Just like Jesus was the man. All right. If you keep your mind on your adverse circumstances, your progress will be at a glacier pace. The Lord has also said to take off your sackcloth and ashes. The children of Israel didn't inherit the promised land because they were ruled by their flesh, which included adverse circumstances. It took someone like Joshua experiencing the same circumstances to rise up and say, we are well able to take the land. Let us go up at once and take it. No, we be not able. Who was right? Both of them. God considered those sad sacks under the circumstances people, the bearers of evil reports. He said they brought an evil report. By the way, they did not go into the promised land. They died in their circumstances. They just walked around in circles until they dropped dead. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Choose you which one you're going to serve today, pitiful or powerful. Colossians 3. This is good stuff, y'all. I tell you what, it slapped me around. I had some Aquavella moments this week. Just jerking the slack out of myself, saying, what are you doing? You're sabotaging yourself. Quit blaming the devil. He's just doing his game. All right, 3. Start verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, or Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. These are the ones that give into their flesh. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, the man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Our Father is overseeing this operation to see if we are battle ready and seasoned for the work ahead. I'm so glad that he has allowed me to see his perspective on this. See, it's the way he's looking at it from our perspective. I mean, from his, he's trying to show us through these visitations his perspective. And to get our mind thinking on his plan and what he wants to do instead of all this crap. Because the devil's going to see to it there's crap. You know what I'm saying? Because he's crap. Crap produces crap. That's all I can say. Peter told us not to think it strange. All right, 1 Peter 4. Kind of like, what's wrong with you, Mom? You know what I'm saying? You ought to be, no one in is going to pull this crap on you. All right, 1 Peter 4, 12. People are going to have to get used to my West Texas talk. I'm not politically correct or spiritually correct or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Whatever I have to say and whatever words I have to use to get you to get it, that's what matters. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. You have a visitation and you're just on cloud nine. The next day you wake up and bam, and you're just, oh, what in the world is happening? This strange thing has happened to me. But rejoice, it says, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Don't look like a lot of happiness going around here, it seems like to me. Happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. What do you think the devil thinks whenever he tries his shenanigans and all you do is go, oh, ha, ha, ha. I'm just saying, we can't no longer play into his hands. You don't want delays, you want progress, right? Well, you're going to have to get in agreement with God's way. When we understand that it is all part of the training and improving process, we can look and see it for what it is. The Lord has said that we are in no harm. He allows the pressure to see how we will perform. Even his only son had to go through this, but he came out of it full of the Holy Ghost and power. He was tempted, but he came out of that temptation with the Holy Ghost and power. That's Luke chapter 4 if you want to read it. He was very hungry, probably to the point of starvation, but he was tempted of, and he was tempted of the devil. But he passed the test. He had to be proven for what he had ahead of him, the cross. The most heinous things were done to him for our sake. Paul had his list of things. We're going to look at Paul's list. I don't think any of us have even got close to anything Paul went through, for sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But the great thing about Jesus, when he came out full of power, he went in the temple and read from the book, and they tried to push him down the hill, and he just walked through the midst of them like, he can't touch me. That power will embolden you. All right. What did I say? 2 Corinthians 11? 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool if otherwise... Yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Epps Waters, I believe. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice a severed shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. I'm not mad at the Lord having a fit. I must needs glory. I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Then he goes on to talk about his revelations, which was the reason for a lot of this. You didn't hear anything negative about his situations, but what you do hear him say is that God delivered him out of them all. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 and 12 here. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We must be very careful with our words. What does it say about our words? Your words, either you're justified or condemned by your words. Satan comes to steal the word. He comes to steal the word. He wants you to say his words. He wants you to give in to all the shenanigans he's been doing and what he's up to. I'd say it ought to be like this. Him and his old buds walking around. He said, don't go over there. We can't ever get any edge on them. You know that one that talks God talk? They just wear us out. Don't even bother with them anymore. I want to be in that crowd. How about you? Okay. Well, I feel, or I don't like, blah, blah, blah. This isn't getting us anywhere except another walk around the mountain. Another delay. Going nowhere fast. This is Brother Copeland in his devotional book was talking about the tongue, and he said, your words make miracles or messes. You have to choose. You want a miracle or a mess? James chapter 3. Verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, you know, the man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. In other words, we can't tame our tongues like we tame an animal. Only our tongues can be tamed by the Spirit of God. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It's like a match in a forest. Can burn down the whole joint. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Good conversation. I have to change conversation. If you want to rise up, you've got to clean up your messes. That is Satan's biggest game. Keep them in messes all their lives so they never are able to do anything for the kingdom of God. We know people like that. They lived in messes their whole life. Never made it out. They never made it through boot camp. What's boot camp? Trying to get you ready so you can be used. That's boot camp. Oh. Look at a few scriptures. Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's pretty powerful right there. I read the whole thing. I only had the one scripture, but that's good. Go to Isaiah 26. Verse 3 there. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It's time to come out of the old habits we have developed that are negative. Coming out of the trial is more up to us than it's up to God. I can. It is powerful, but I can't do a thing. My mother always said, can't, never could do nothing. And it never could. All right, Philippians 1:6. These scriptures, you knew these had to be in there. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Hope you do. Philippians 4, this is 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He refused to see the bad, just the good. 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can. I remember the movie Top Gun. Goose was killed and Maverick was a trained fighter pilot, but he could no longer engage. you know, in the movie, he couldn't engage. They tried several things. He didn't keep sending him up, but he wouldn't engage. One day, he decided to put his past behind. I remember he threw the dog tags in the ocean. And what happened? He got in a dog fight. And the old ways started coming against him, trying to get him to act that way where he wouldn't engage. And all of a sudden, he decided to engage. He got back in the fight. Then when he landed, old Iceman said, "You can be my wingman anytime." And old Maverick said, "BS, you can be mine. Be the man." All right, that's what the Lord wants us to be. Right here, let's look at Job 42. We're going to be done. This is verse, starting with verse 10 here. Now, you know, Job, he had his pity party out there, you know, with all his old friends and stuff, and they trashed him and bashed him. And his wife said, "You just need to curse God and die, you know. You're just good for nothing." Well, God got a hold of Job, and Job repented. And this is what God did for Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, verse 10. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He got double for his trouble. Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and he did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. It was the devil. Every man also gave him a piece of money. Go look, read chapter 1. You'll see it's the devil. And every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance with their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. So, you know what? The Lord's no respect of persons. What he did for Job, he'll do for you. But you can't be pitiful and powerful. You got to be the man. All right.